Well, let's take our Bibles this morning and turn to the Gospel of Luke, chapter number 2. Luke, chapter number 2. It's great to see the children sing this morning. I remember several weeks ago, when we were talking about kids and mask. Christmas. And I'll take my mask off, right. I'll take it off. Doing something for them for Christmas so that they could get, usually we do a fairly good size production with the children, but they did a great job this morning, don't you think? Amen. And it was great to see them come on up, and appreciate all those who got them ready and practiced with them. And so praise the Lord for that. Well, Luke chapter 2, we're going to read verses 1 down through 18 this morning. Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 18, and then we'll have a word of prayer. Let's follow along as I read. The Bible says, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born," in fact, won't you read the verse 11 out loud with me together? Let's begin. "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. It came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into the heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds." Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you again for the opportunity that you've given to us to assemble here this morning. Thank you for the opportunity that we had to lift up our voices and to sing and praise and worship you. Thank you for the monies received in the offering. Thank you for the missionaries we're able to support. Thank you for the children and the way that they ministered to us this morning. But thank you most of all for the salvation that we have through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Lord, we come this morning and we ask as an act of worship now, we'd be attentive to the preaching. Help me as I preach. Please use me this morning. Help me to think this message through in such a way that it benefits each of our hearts, that it draws each of us closer to you. As the Apostle Paul asked in the book of Ephesians, Lord, give me utterance this morning to preach the unsearchable riches of the Lord Jesus Christ. Be with those who aren't able to be with us today. Bless those that are watching online. Lord, we pray that you would draw each of them closer to you as well. We pray for someone who may be here or someone who's watching on the live stream if they've never received Jesus Christ as their Savior. We pray, Holy Spirit, that you'd move upon their hearts, that you'd cause them to realize their lost condition, cause them to realize their need of Christ. And today they would call out to Jesus and be gloriously saved, be redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. So bless this message, bless this time, in Jesus' name, amen. I want to draw your attention to verse number 9 and verse number 10. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. Good tidings of great joy. Listen, I think you would agree with me this morning, the greatest news the world ever received is found in verse 11. The angels declaring this truth unto the shepherds, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. The phrase good tidings that's found here in the scriptures, it's the same word that we use for the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. The gospel of Jesus Christ, he shall save all people. 30 years later, Jesus would begin his earthly ministry. And 3 years after that, he would go to the cross, from the cradle to the cross, to die for the sins of all mankind. That's the greatest news the world has ever heard. Amen? And here it is 2,000 years later, and it's still the greatest news that the world has ever heard. And people today, all throughout the world, have heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. And whether it's here in our own nation or in the many countries that our 40-some missionaries preach in or other countries around the world, today people have heard the good news of Jesus Christ. And today someone, men and women, boys and girls, have called upon Jesus Christ to be their Savior. Boy, what a Christmas gift that is. Amen? The good news of Jesus Christ. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. That was some of the last words that Jesus spoke. And that's what the good news is, and that's what we're to do. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Could I just for a minute have you keep your finger here? We'll come back here in just a second. But take your Bibles, won't you, and turn, if you would please, over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Probably one of the clearest definitions or explanations of the gospel is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And Paul writes these words. He says, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received and wherein you stand, by which also ye are saved. If you keep in memory that what I preach unto you, unless you have believed in vain. Now here it is, verse 3. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received. Now here's the gospel, amen? That Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, and that he rose the third day according to the scriptures. Amen. He rose from the dead and paid for our sin. That's the good news. That's the good tidings of great joy. And go back to Luke chapter 2. And I want to preach to you about what took place here in Luke chapter 2. And I want to give you several points here with regards to the impact that the gospel has on individuals and on families and on communities and really on in all of the world and to all people. So I want to give you these several characteristics here that we find. So we understand the scene here. If you've been a Christian for any length of time, you're very familiar what's taking place. And the shepherds, they're out in the field. They're watching their flocks by night. And so, by the way, because they're out in the field watching their flocks by night, they're awake. They are attentive because they're keeping an eye out for anything that might disturb their flocks. So when this happens, they're not being woke up from sleep or some dream that's taking place. They are keenly aware of everything that's taking place around them. And all of a sudden, as we read here in the scriptures in verse 9, and lo, the angel of the Lord came unto them, and the glory shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. All of a sudden, there's the angel of the Lord and the glory, maybe like the Shekinah glory of God, but a light shining there and grabbing their attention immediately, bringing this good news. Can I say to you this morning, point number one is this. the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, will illuminate our lives. The gospel will illuminate our lives, when it said here in the scriptures, the glory of the Lord shone round about them. That's what the gospel did. In our Sunday school class this morning, in our adult Bible study, Ethan quoted out of the gospel of Isaiah. The people that walk in darkness have seen a great light. That's the gospel. And they that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, and upon them hath the light shined. You know, you've probably noticed 2020, it's been kind of a dark year. With everything going. Now, it's not all been bad. Like my daughter and my son-in-law, they got married. Amen. Amen. And they were going to invite 500 of their closest friends and family members. Well, they had to whittle it down to 50 because of COVID. But it's not been a bad year for everything. But it has been a dark year in many ways. Wouldn't you say amen? I mean, all we hear is bad news, it seems, in the news. And that can get depressing. But the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ is anything but depressing. It illuminates our lives. It illuminates our lives. It's a wonderful thing. And I don't care whether there's a pandemic. There's always something going on in the world. There's always some type of darkness, whether it's a pandemic, whether it's the history of the world, whether it's the war. You know, I've been reading a little bit about the pandemic of 1918. It was a dark time for people. I mean, when you think about it, World War I had, I think, it just about come to an end. So just as it looked like the war was over, there's a pandemic. And then when that's done, and after that passes, all of a sudden, we get attacked, and now it's World War II, or the Great Depression. History is filled with dark times, but history is filled with the illuminating light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So we need to remember that. This pandemic, Lord willing, a year from today, we'll be reaching. I was thinking about this. This is kind of a winter jacket. I only wear it in the winter. And by the next year, I'll put this jacket on like I put it on this morning. There was something in my pocket. I pulled out one of these from another time. We'll be pulling out masks from winter clothes, remembering, oh, yeah, you remember when we had to wear these masks all the time. They'll be selling them in antique shops one day. Now, I don't want to make light of the fact that obviously people have really suffered and gone through difficult times. But the gospel of Jesus Christ brings light to darkness. And we do grieve with and pray for those that have lost loved ones. And for those that have lost loved ones who have known Jesus Christ as their Savior, the light of that is they've gone to be with the Lord. Amen? So we're mindful of that. But the gospel does that. It illuminates lives. Jesus said this during his earthly ministry, John chapter 8 and verse 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. I'm thankful for the day. I was 24 years old and had heard the gospel my entire life. But I was 24 years old when the gospel of Jesus Christ illuminated into my life, and all of a sudden it all made sense, and I received Christ as my Savior. That's the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's wonderful. And so here are the shepherds out in the field. And there's the glory of the Lord. And I want to tell you, in a real sense, when you come to know Christ as your Savior, and all of a sudden the reality of who you are and the reality of who Jesus is, in a very real sense, it's as if the glory of the Lord is shining all around you. And all of a sudden you realize, I am a sinner, but there's a God in heaven who loves me. There's a God in heaven who cares for me. There's a God in heaven who sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die for my sins. You call upon Jesus, and I don't know about you, but all of the weight of sin, and all of the guilt of sin, and all of the shame of sin is lifted. And there's a light in my life. Romans chapter 13 and verse 12 is my life's verse. It is the verse that the Holy Spirit of God convicted me with. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Therefore, cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. And that day you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, the armor of light is placed upon you. What a glorious day. Now here are the shepherds. And there they are out in the field. And by the way, you never know, do you? Here they are just doing what they do, watching sheep. Now all of a sudden, here is the Lord Jesus Christ. Or here is the announcement of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Say more about that in a minute. But secondly, I noticed this. The gospel will alleviate our fears. Now they were afraid. Look what it says in verse 9. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them, and they were sore afraid. I suppose most people would be, wouldn't they? All of a sudden, there's the angel of the Lord, and there's bright light. That would be startling. And there was a fear that took place there. You know, there's a lot of that takes place with regards to the birth of Jesus and all the events that surrounded it. In fact, just go back to chapter 1 of the Gospel of Luke. Look in chapter 1. Look at verse 13. This is the announcement of John the Baptist, Jesus' cousin being born. But the angel said unto him, to Zacharias, "Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard." Zacharias was fearful of what was taking place. And yet the message, the good news is, listen, fear not. God's got this all under control. God's got a plan for your life, Zacharias. Well, look at verse 30. The angel Gabriel appears to Mary, and the angel said unto her, "Fear not, Mary, fear not, for thou hast found favor with God." Again, we see that. Two other times leading up to this instance here. "Fear not," the angel said. You go back to Luke chapter 2. "Fear not, for I have brought you good tidings of great joy to all people." The gospel will not only illuminate our lives, the gospel of Jesus Christ will also alleviate our fears. Many people are fearful. Many people are. People are filled with fear. But you know what? There are people, whether there's a pandemic going on or not, people are filled with fears. They're fearful about tomorrow. They're anxious about how they're going to pay their bills. They're anxious about sickness. They're anxious about just so many of the different issues of life. One of the families in our church this morning mentioned to me that they have some family members that have just been diagnosed with COVID. Or Ethan prayed for our good friend Marty Collins. And I'm sure that there is some anxiousness in the Collins family or in the family from our church that is dealing with this, or any one of you. I mean, that's just part of who we are. And yet the gospel helps to alleviate those fears. It really does. Romans chapter 8, verse 15. Ethan touched on this this morning as well in the adult Sunday school class. But Romans chapter 8 and verse 15 says this, "For ye have not received the spirit of fear." Excuse me. "We have not received the spirit of bondage," again to fear, "but you have received the spirit of adoption." Listen, as born again believers, we're not to live our lives in fear. The scriptures say elsewhere, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love, it casteth out fear." There's going to be, unless you're not human, there's probably going to be a time in all of our lives where there's fearful moments, anxious moments, times that we worry. But then we're reminded that we're called to look back to the scriptures. We're reminded, by the way, that the greatest fear of all is the fear of what happens at the end of our life when we die. And the greatest fear of all is alleviated because Jesus died and he paid for our sins. So you and I, to be absent from the body, we don't need to be fearful. It means to be in the presence of the Lord. But there are many people who have never heard that message. They don't know the good news. They're concerned and they're worried. What happens at the end of life? That's a great privilege and joy that you have. We know with a certainty, we know with a certainty from the scriptures that when we breathe our last breath, that we are then in the presence of the one who loves us more than we could ever imagine. What a joy that is. The gospel, it alleviates our fears. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of what else? Most of you know it, of a sound mind. See, that's what fear does. Fear kind of messes with our mind. And Jesus doesn't want our minds messed with. He says in the book of Philippians, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So remember, as you've come to know Christ as your Savior, there was an illumination that took place. All of a sudden, the reality took place. Our fears can be alleviated when we look to the Savior. They'll come. Be anxious for nothing. But look to the Savior. And then thirdly, the gospel is what really initiated our faith. You know, here, the angels come to the shepherds. And there they are, just going about, as I said earlier, their routine. This is what they did. You'll never know. Some people never know when the gospel is going to be brought to them. Somebody might be standing in line at a Walmart, and someone has a gospel tract and takes the gospel tract out and hands it to them, and they read that gospel tract, and whether then or maybe after they think about it, and then the Spirit of God brings conviction to their heart, all of a sudden, there's an illumination of the gospel of Jesus Christ in their lives. And all of those things that they worried about and they feared, they realized that Christ has come to deal with all of that. And they've asked Jesus Christ to be their Savior. God uses people to do that. But you never know. It could be out on a hillside. It could be out on a hillside watching sheep. It could be in Walmart. Several years ago, I picked up some Appalachian hikers and gave them a ride into town to Walmart, to the post office. I was going to be in town for a while, and I said to them, hey, you know, if you need a ride back to the trailhead, give me a call. I'll pick you up, and I'll bring you back to the trailhead. They did. They called me from, what do they call it? Dunkin' Donuts. You're probably craving those Dunkin' Donuts for those last 4 miles of the hike. And so I just chit-chatted with them for a while, gave them gospel tracts. I don't know any of them, if either of those two. One I dropped off at the trail. The other was actually a businessman. He was going to a motel in Williamstown. He needed to stay overnight and make some business calls. But they were hiking the whole trail. I don't know what ever happened, but they got a gospel presentation. Who knows? Who knows? But God has different ways that God initiates his faith in our lives to bring it to be. And here in our text, look what it says. It says here in verse 11, pick it up here. So the angel says, for unto you, the angel is talking to the shepherds, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another. That must have been quite a sight. You know, all of this takes place. And they kind of look at each, like, I don't know how many shepherds, but did you see that? Did you hear that? Pretty shocking. Well, they said, well, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And at that moment, at that time, God was going to use this instance to initiate faith in their lives for them to come. Now, these were Jewish shepherds. All of their lives, they were told that one day the Messiah was coming. And here they are out on a field. In the middle of the night. And that's where God initiated their faith. Luke chapter 19 and verse 10 says this. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. He comes to seek and to save that which is lost. And you might be watching on live stream this morning, or you might be here. And I want you to know this morning that just like it was then, God is knocking at your heart's door. He's saying, listen, I've come to save you. Listen, I've come because you're a sinner without any hope. But there's a God in heaven who loves you, who sent his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die for you on an old rugged cross. And the message was brought here to these shepherds, and they said, we've got to go see this. And so right there at that moment, their faith is being initiated. It's being brought into being. Listen, Paul was on his journey to Damascus. He was on his way to arrest Christians, to put them in jail, and quite possibly to put them to death. The Bible says in the book of Acts, and as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shone about him a light from heaven. And it was an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how it works. Good tidings of great joy. Then also the gospel will empower us to communicate his life to others. So let's look at it here in our text. Look what happens. Verse 16, well, they came with haste and they found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. So they go and they come to the manger and there's the Christ child. And they want others to know what they found. They want others to know about Jesus. They want others to know that the Savior of the world has come to die for the sins of all mankind. They told as many as they could concerning this child, it says. Listen, you and I, we have been empowered by the Holy Spirit of God to tell the world that Jesus Christ has come. The old Christmas carol is about that, is it not? Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. Go tell it on the mountain. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain. In that Jesus Christ is born. That's what we're all supposed to do. And by the way, there's no greater time than the Christmas season to tell family and loved ones what Christmas is really all about. In just a simple way. Even maybe a Christmas opening gifts or talking to folks on the phone. Have you ever really thought what Christmas is really all about? The death, burial, and resurrection. That's why Jesus came. Give out a gospel tract. Last year, I remember we were having breakfast at one of the restaurants here in town. Some of the fellows and I, and we gave the owner a gospel Christmas tract. Next time we went in, he came up and he thanked me for that tract. He said, you know, that's really what Christmas is all about. Let me challenge you this morning. When was the last time you shared your faith with someone? Because you see, the Holy Spirit has empowered us to share our faith. It's the Holy Spirit that does that. I know that many of you, I see sometimes on Facebook, you post different things about different subjects. But how about posting something about the birth of Christ? How about posting something about why Jesus came? How about posting something about what the season's all about? It's a great way to share your faith. And many of you have, you know, I don't know how that... I don't do too much on Facebook, but some of you probably have thousands of friends on Facebook. Great way to share your faith. But remember that the Holy Spirit resides within us, and the Holy Spirit is what empowers us. This is why I could never, yes, maybe you can't, but the Holy Spirit within you is just wanting to bust out for you to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Go tell it on the mountain. The way the last stanza of that verse, I was doing a little reading on that, the original stanza says, not that Jesus Christ is born, it says that Jesus Christ is Lord. And that's true, amen? He's to be the Lord of our lives. But there's a great example. I'd like them, if they put it on the screen, Mark chapter 5. Look what it says here in Mark chapter 5. This is the account of Mark chapter 5 in verses 19 through 20. It says there, howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done to thee, or for thee, and hath compassion on thee. You know what that account's about? It's about a man who was absolutely a lunatic, the madman of the Gadarenes. He was a wild man. He was naked and he would break the chains. He was demonically possessed by a devil by the name of Legion. And Jesus came. And Jesus brought the good news. And Jesus delivered him from his demonic possession. And then the demon said, Jesus cast the demons into 2,000 swine, and they all ran off the cliff. It was quite an account. And then you read that account, the man couldn't stop talking about it. But how about you and me? Wouldn't it be great? We can talk about a lot of things. Not all bad, but it would be really great if we just couldn't stop talking about the birth of Jesus Christ. Because the Holy Spirit enables us, communicates to communicate his life. And then lastly, we need to remember this. I didn't read it, but look at verse 19 and 20 as we finish. But Mary kept all of these things and pondered them in her heart. And now look at verse 20. And the shepherds, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. These shepherds, God illuminated their lives. God said, fear not. He alleviated their fears. He initiated their faith as they were told to go see the Christ child. They were empowered to communicate the life of Christ when they made known abroad this saying which was told them concerning the child. And the gospel will always remind us to appreciate the gift of eternal life. They left glorifying and praising God for all that they had seen and all that they had heard and all that was told them. The psalmist said that he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. And many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away and all things are become new. Now you may not have been a wild man like the man of the Gadarenes, but nonetheless, and you might not have been breaking chains, or you might have been someone like me who was enchained and God broke the chains. But whoever you are, sin had you chained. And if you've never received Christ as your Savior, sin still has you in chains. But I want to tell you, Jesus Christ has come to set the captive free, to make the lame to walk and the blind to see, and to change lives. And I don't care whether it's a pandemic or anything else that's going on, the message of Jesus Christ is just as powerful today as it has been for the last 2,000 years. And it's the greatest story the world has ever heard. And it's the greatest news the world has ever heard. I challenge you this morning to glorify and praise the Lord by sharing your faith. There's an urgency. Because one day Jesus, just like he came the first time, he's coming again. He's coming again. Just for the moment, whether you're here or whether you're watching on live stream, that aunt, that uncle, that mom, that dad, that son, that daughter, that co-worker, they've never received the free gift of Jesus Christ. Oh, may the Holy Spirit of God burden our hearts for a lost and for a dying world. Help us not to get so caught up in the fact that there's a pandemic and they want everybody to stay at home. And I get some of that and all that, but that still doesn't mean that you can't share the gospel with people. There's a thing called a telephone that we have now, an internet, and there's just all kinds of ways. When was the last time? But that's how we appreciate his gift. Let me leave you with this verse. I'll have them put it up on the screen. It's the greatest verse, perhaps most well-known for sure in all of the Bible. For God Let's just read it out loud, won't we, together? Most of you know it, I'm sure, but I think it's on the screen behind me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Let's just read it one more time, but let's just slow it down like we're reading it for the first time ever, like we've never seen this before. Won't you do that? Just follow my lead. For God. I'll read and then you repeat. For God. So loved the world.
So loved the world.
That he gave his only begotten Son.
That he gave his only begotten Son.
That whosoever believeth in him.
Whosoever believeth in him.
Should not perish but have everlasting life.
Should not perish but have everlasting life.
It's the greatest news the world has ever heard. If you're here this morning and you've never asked Jesus Christ to be your Savior, or if you're watching online this morning, you need to admit that you're a sinner, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You need to believe that Jesus died and he paid for your sins on the cross 2,000 years ago. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you have never called upon his name, I ask you right now to call upon him. We're going to bow our heads. We're going to have a word of prayer, but as we bow our heads, just in your own way and in your own simple prayer, admit to God that you're a sinner, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Believe that Jesus died, and I believe, Jesus, that you died and paid for my sin, and I call upon you now to be my Savior. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for the opportunity this morning to preach the unsearchable riches of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, we ask and pray as we conclude this service this morning that whether here or whether those that are watching via live stream, Facebook, YouTube, if they've never received Christ as their Savior, this morning they'd call upon him. This morning they'd be gloriously saved and receive the greatest gift the world has ever known, the gift of the forgiveness of sin and of eternal life. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
We are so glad that you've taken the time to join us today. If you've been blessed by the message, or if you have placed your faith in Jesus today, we want to hear from you. Maybe you still have questions about what it means to have a personal relationship with Jesus. Please let us know, and we would love to answer those questions from the Bible. We would also be happy to provide you with the Bible and other free Christian resources to help you grow in your faith. You can email us at info@mountgreylockbaptist.com or send us a message on Facebook. You could also call us at 413-662-2107. We would love to hear from you, and our desire is to be a blessing to you in any way that we can. God bless.